past the 5-point harness. Grandpa, get your ID. Shortly, because ladies and gentlemen, it is showtime.
You're listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast with Marshall Haynes.
Results for the late models, starting with the Lucas Oil Series. This was all clear back in January. The first race was scheduled for January 22nd at Alltech, and it was rained out the next night. The 23rd was at Alltech. Kyle Larson dominated the field. Then we moved to East Bay for the rest. On the 25th, it was Hudson O'Neill winning it. The 26th was Tyler Erb. 27th was Josh Richards. 28th, Stormy Scott. 29th was Brandon Overton. 30th was Tyler Erb. And then they wrapped up February 1st and 2nd at Bubba. On the 1st, it was Ricky Thornton. And on the 2nd was Shane Clanton. For the World of Outlaws, they went to Volusia as part of the Dirt Car Nationals. And on the 10th of February, it was Kyle Strickler winning it. The next night was Devin Moran on the 12th, it was Brandon Overton. Those are your results of who won.
Hi, I'm Lacey from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Want to learn how to help us out? Well, you can go to winaz51corvette.com and make a donation of $25 or more, and you can help us out. And you could have a chance to win a 2021 Z51 Corvette. And that's not just any Corvette. It is an Elkhart Lake Blue Metallic. It's a beautiful, beautiful car, brand new, and it could be yours just by making a $25 donation or more. Again, that website is winaz51corvette.com. The drawing is August 14th, Saturday night of the Knoxville Nationals, and you could be getting a call from one of us here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum telling you you just won a brand new Z51 Metallic Lake Blue Corvette. That address again is winaz51corvette.com.
Welcome back to the show, Ben Shelton, to help us break down the late models and everything else going on. How's it going, Ben?
Oh, man, it's good. Just catching my breath after speed weeks and getting ready for the rest of the season.
First of all, you went to Arizona.
Yes, sir. Kicked that off. Seems like a lifetime ago, but the reality was it was just a little over a month ago we had Arizona kicking off the season.
And then my notes, remember, right? I could throw those notes out the window on certain drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's been chaos since then. You know, we started the year in Arizona back in early January with Wobbler Shootout and Wild Wing Shootout, and you kind of got a feel for what you thought everything was going to be like, and then you got to Speed Weeks, and some of the guys that did well in Arizona didn't do so well and down at Speed Weeks, and some of the guys that struggled in Arizona did quite well at Speed Weeks. So it just kind of shows that we're in a very competitive sport where, you know, a week can make a big difference, and really one night to the next can make a huge difference as well.
And then you got to go to Alltech, first of all, and saw Larson's domination.
Yeah, you know, really, that was an eye-opener. That was the first time I had actually been at the track when Kyle was racing in the late model. I obviously saw highlights what he did at Port Royal, and then, you know, I think everybody knows he struggled at the Dirt Track World Championship last year. But to see him and to see, I thought he'd be a contender to win that night as fast as he looked early in the night. I never would have dreamed, one, that the feature would go caution-free, but two, that he would win by 15 seconds. It was, it was really amazing. It was just a total dominant performance. And when he climbed out of the car and I went to interview him for Dirt on Dirt for Flow Racing, he kind of grinned at me. He's like, "You're a believer now?" And I was like, "Yes, sir, I am." I mean, he definitely showed that he can drive anything, anywhere.
And then East Bay had a lot of cars this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got as high as they were pushing, you know, 80 cars. And, you know, then they had a lot of cars for the Craig Late model part of it, too. And I think part of it is, you know, guys know that East Bay is supposed to be going away in a few years, and guys are wanting to race. And a lot of drivers didn't get to race last year. I mean, we were way up on car count in Arizona, and we saw it at Speed Week. So it was the same deal. It was car count was up pretty much across the board. And, you know, East Bay was a little bit different this year than we saw in previous years, but, you know, the talent level was just amazing every night there.
And a lot of carnage each night.
Well, it was, and that's kind of the nature of East Bay, because guys just, you know, obviously it's no big secret, guys can't steer there. They have a hard time getting a hold of it. That's a very tricky surface there, and the tide comes in and out, and you just partner that with the way these race cars are now. And, yeah, there was some torn-up stuff, but, you know, it was an entertaining week for sure, and, you know, a lot of parity. We saw a lot of different guys go to victory lane. Really, throughout all the Speed Weeks, I think there was only, what, three repeat winners in dirt late model competition from the beginning of Speed Weeks in January to the time it ended in mid-February.
And on Davenport, what's his deal? All of a sudden, I thought Arizona looked great, and then it's, wow.
Well, I think it's a testament to just how competitive things are. And you know, if you're off just a little bit, I think it makes a big time difference, because, you know, everybody's got the best of everything, and everybody's right there together. And, you know, he's never been per se, East Bay's been one of his best tracks. I thought he was good at all tech, although, you know, that got overshadowed by what Larson did. But yeah, it was, they were kind of scratching their heads. It'll be interesting to see post Speed Weeks how things go for that team, because, you know, a lot of times once you get past Speed Weeks, you can't bank on how well you did or how bad you did down there. It can go either way. So it'll be interesting, you know, as we get into the rest of the season.
And then what's Overton going to do for sure? What series?
Well, he keeps telling me that he's probably not going to run a series, but, you know, it's just going to depend on how things go. I mean, right now, you know, the first two, you know, the next two races for the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series are against Bristol, and he plans to go to Bristol. So, you know, as far as I know, everything's full speed ahead for those Lucas Oil shows at Brownstown and Atomic. And if that's the case, and he definitely goes to Bristol, which was his plan leaving Speed Weeks, then he'll relinquish that points lead. So, you know, we'll definitely know more here within the next month or so as we get into things and see what direction guys decide to go. You know, there's a lot of teams that I think have a lot of decisions to make here in the next month. And definitely by the time we get to this time in March, we're going to have a much better feel for who's going to be doing what.
And there was some testing going on earlier today at Bristol. Did you happen to know what teams were there?
I had heard. I didn't catch it, but I talked to somebody with the Bloomquist team, and I know they'd be there. And I believe Steve Arpin and the Modified was going to be there, and Kyle Strickler was scheduled to be there. And then I feel like it might have been one more late model team there, but that was the ones that – I do know. Oh, well, Davenport obviously was there today as well. So that was the extent of the teams that I know that went there to practice.
And then you have Big Flow Night in America, if you can explain that more to people.
Yeah, it's something we're very excited about. It's basically, you know, it's a 10-race deal. There's a small outside chance we might add an 11th day, but right now it's 10 races. Kicks off March 25th at Tennessee's 411 Motor Speedway. And basically, it's just a little mini series that doesn't conflict with either the World of Outlaws or the Lucas Oil Series. And 8 of the 10 races pay at least $10,000 to win. We've got a $15,000 to win in September at Fairbury, and coming up in April at Atomic Speedway, we have a we got a $20,000 to win. And we just kind of wanted to do something fun to give both the fans at home something to watch in the middle of the weeks, and give racers a chance to go out there and make some money as well. And not only are these really good payouts, we've got over $400,000 in that. You know, we've also got a $62,000 plus point fund paying the top 10 spots, and only a driver's best 7 finishes count. So drivers don't even have to run all the races, and there might be a guy that finishes 9th or 10th in points and only hits 5 races or so, but he has 5 good ones. So the chance to make some money, it's a chance to do something fun in the middle of the week. When I was growing up, there was Thursday Night Thunder that we'd watch with USAC, and they would be racing at Ventura Speedway out in California. Sometimes they'd be racing at IRP in different places, and it was kind of fun to catch that on a Thursday night. And these shows are on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and it just gives, again, these racers a chance to make some extra money. These fans see some extra racing, and, you know, it's just a win-win. It's definitely not out there to compete with anybody. or any series. It's just that something else on the market. We're really excited to have it coming to life here within the next month. Like I said, March 25th is the first race, and then less than a week later, we'll be at Tri-City Speedway in Illinois. So we've got some really good tracks. Talked about those and Atomic. We've got Tyler County Speedway in West Virginia, Brownstown Speedway in Indiana, up in your neck of the woods, Marshalltown Speedway there in Iowa, Ford Speedway in Kentucky, and we mentioned Fairbury in Illinois, and then in October we're going to Tri-County Racetrack in North Carolina and Volunteer Speedway at Bulls Gap, Tennessee. So 10 different tracks, over $400,000 in money, and just something fun and different here in 2021.
Speaking of Marshalltown, I can tell you a trivia question.
Well, lay it on me.
The last Dairy Brothers race was there.
Yeah, they had, it took a few different tries to get it. They kept having trouble with the weather, and they finally got it in, but yeah, you are correct about that.
It's a neat little track.
Yeah, everywhere I've been, I have never been there. Very excited to be going, and it's definitely been a bucket list place for me. And Dustin Jarrett, my partner in crime on this series, he's been there, and he raves about the place. So, yeah, we're definitely very excited. We're excited about all these tracks, but I'd be lying if I didn't say that one's a little something extra, just because I've never been there, and there's not a whole lot of tracks that are like that anymore. So I'm really excited to get to go there for the first time, and very excited that Toby Crews and the gang are working with us to bring that show there, and hopefully it'll lead to more big super late model events at Marshalltown.
Yeah, that would, because I know that month of May, you have Boone with the Outlaws, and then Lucas Oil at 34, and then this.
Yeah, it's a whole lot, so it's definitely a lot to get us excited about it, and hopefully Mother Nature will be a fan, and we can have some great shows.
And then the Bristol, did you see where Larson's going to that for the first one?
Yeah, Larson's going to be there. I think you're going to see, I don't want to steal any thunder, but I think there may be some other NASCAR guys that run some of the Bristol events leading into, in conjunction with the NASCAR weekend as well. So I think there's a lot of information to come out there. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds and, how the place races. I was there back around 2000 when they put dirt on it the first time, and it was pretty surreal to see that. So it'll be interesting to see how this weekend goes, both weekends with both what they're doing with the Bristol Dirt Nationals. And then I guess three, because you've got the World of Outlaw Late Models there for a weekend and the World of Outlaw Sprints there for a weekend as well.
And then mention some of your, where they can find you all at.
Well, definitely with the Castrol Flow Racing Night in America, you can find details on that at flowracing.com and on dirtondirt.com. And, we've got a lot of different things going on. And, as far as my personal company, always check out MSRMafia.com. We help with a lot of teams and events and different things, and always just trying to do what we can to grow the business and help racing and, keep things moving forward. So we appreciate everybody getting out and supporting everything, whether you support your local track, a special event, or any of these great businesses that help the sport go around.
And then if you don't ever see Dirt on Dirt, does for Speed Weeks the ride home, I always try to catch that.
Yeah, we have a good time with that. I think we might have ruffled a few feathers this year, but everybody kind of wants to have our honest opinion, and sometimes when you get the honest opinion, it's not necessarily what people want to hear, but we have a good time with it. We probably, that idea kind of started as something that we were going to do just for fun a couple years ago, and it's arguably grown into our biggest deal. People really enjoy it, and I think even when they're mad at us sometimes, I think they enjoy it. So it's something we enjoy doing, and it's just kind of a inside peek into the fact that at the end of the day, we all work in the industry, but we're giant race fans, and we just love what we do. And we're constantly talking about, when we're not on air, we're still talking about racing, because we've grown up around it, we live it and breathe it. So, it's kind of been a fun insight into behind the scenes with the staff, if you will, as we go through Speed Weeks, which this year was, 20-plus days. So there was definitely a lot of things that got talked about.
And then on the Rocket House car with Shepherd, when will he be back on track?
Yeah, those guys, I think it'll be interesting, because they're going to, the Outlaws are scheduled to get back in action here in early March at Duck River. Brandon's good. He's won at Smoky Mountain. It'll be interesting. I would be surprised if he didn't win at least one race that weekend, especially Smoky Mountain. That team's really good on those big tracks like that. I think you asked about Davenport being a tick off, and they're at Speed Weeks after being so good in Arizona. And I think if you're off just a little bit, it just shows, just because the talent is so strong out there. So If we've seen anything, again, we've seen teams go and have an amazing speed weeks and not win another race the rest of the year. So I don't know that we can put a lot of stock into speed weeks, but, you know, again, here in the next month, there's a lot of racing, as long as Mother Nature doesn't intervene. There's a lot of racing coming up, and we're going to know what teams got it corrected or which teams may be on the struggle bus all year. So it's hard to imagine Jonathan Davenport or Brandon Shepherd, you know, struggling all year. But, hey, man, again, in dirt late model racing, anything is possible. So it could go either way, and I guess we're all just going to have to tune in and see how it plays out.
The one guy I was surprised with and I knew nothing about was Blair Nordorf.
Yeah, you know, Blair, he started in spec late model action with Soda and moved up into super late model action about a little over 2 years ago. And, you know, we kind of made the joke. A lot of people struggle with his name for sure. And even as an announcer, and even he's become a good friend of mine. I still struggle at times in the moment. But, yeah, so we started calling him Snowdrift as kind of a joke. And it kind of stuck. And he's had apparel made with it and everything. But, you know, Nordorf has really taken his lumps the past few years. He's got out there. He's gone to a lot of events. And, you know, he's had more than his fair share of struggles. But it finally started to turn around this year. He made his first features at East Bay. You know, he made a feature there at Volusia. You know, he's still learning. But, you know, a driver being out of South Dakota in the super late model ranks, you're a little bit of a disadvantage because there's not a lot of open competition action up there. So I think for the limited amount of competition he's been able to have, I think he's actually, you know, he's done really well.
A lot of people are just finding out about Ricky Thornton.
Yeah, you know, I think people in the modified and the stock car world, they're probably glad to get rid of him because he's just been over there stinking it up for a long time. And, you know, he's won 40-plus races the past few years. And, you know, now the late model world's getting a feel for him. But, again, I think it shows just how tough this stuff is because he started Speed Week struggling. You know, and there by the end, he got a win there at Bubba Raceway Park, and he had some good runs at Volusia. But, you know, he admittedly said, I've got to start driving the car harder, and I have to do things a lot different. So that, again, just points to how tough this stuff is and that, you know, you got to be on top of your game every lap of every race. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to win some races this year. He's going to go to a lot of places for the first time, but he's definitely an exciting addition into the dirt late model ranks.
And then a few more things I want to bring up. The Tyler Erb situation. People are all up in arms over that.
Well, you know, that they are. And you know with Turbo, man, he's a passionate guy. And does he always make the right decisions? No. But I do respect people in our sport. You know, you look at Scott Blomquist over the years, being very outspoken, being very honest. And I think that's one thing that separates our sports from some others where, you know, guys always say what they're supposed to say. I love that our sport, when somebody's pissed off, they say they're pissed off, you know, and, you know, when they think somebody's done them wrong, they say it. And I you know, can Tyler probably turn it down from a 10 to a 5? Probably, you know, and Tyler will admit that, but also, you know, I do respect his, you know, his passion for what he does. And, you know, he definitely ruffled some feathers and there in Speed Weeks. And, you know, I hated to see that go that way for him. And also for Mason Ziegler and that, but, you know, again, these guys take a lot of passion. They want to win. They're competitors, and things like that happen. And with Tyler, because he's such a passionate guy, it seems like there's that much better of a probability he's going to be involved with it more than just about any other driver.
And then Blomquist. Everybody can't stop talking. Is he coming? Is he back for sure?
As far as driving style?
Yeah. I knew his leg was an issue.
Yeah, you know, he says he feels a lot better. And, you know, I caught a lot of grief on the drive home because I made the comment at Volusia after the first night that they got a penalty for the droop roll. And I said, you know what? I said, I think Scott's going to need a provisional every night to make a show. Well, he raced into every show except the last one, which rained out. So Team Zero, they gave me a hard time. Some of the fans, they were less than pleased with me. Definitely made a bad prediction. But I'll say this. I think Scott showed as much speed as I've seen him start the year with in a couple of years. So I think Scott is going to get back to victory lane this year. And, you know, our sport needs the Scott Blomquist because he's a polarizing individual. People either love him or they don't, but they all want to see him race. And, you know, we want to see legends like that keep going. So I think Scott, I'm not saying he's going to go win double-digit races this year, but I do think Scott is going to have a better year than he's had the past few. And I think part of it is he's just more comfortable in the race car, you know, as he recovers from the surgery and the injuries and everything that he had.
Hope to see you sometime this year.
Yeah, you know, I definitely plan to come back to Knoxville for the late model nationals, and then I'll be up there at Marshalltown. So I'm sure I'll be in your neck of the woods. Hopefully, definitely more this year than last year. Hopefully, you know, we're all going to get to race a lot more.
Yeah, I missed Knoxville last year.
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, to lose both the national, you know, the late model and the sprint car nationals, that was a tough one. So, you know, you're going to think positive and think hopefully, you know, everything's headed in the right direction, and we're going to get to have all the races this year that we didn't get to have last year.
And then you can see the exhibit of Greg Hodnett, too.
Yeah, you know, definitely, you know, Greg was considered a member of the Pennsylvania Posse, and I guess he was there. He spent a lot of time racing in Pennsylvania, but Greg was a Memphis boy. When I was growing up, I'd watch Greg race B cars and sprint cars at my local tracks, Memphis Motorsports Park and Riverside Speedway. And so in my mind, he was always a Memphis guy. And Jason Sides, who runs with the World of Outlaws, his brother Paul restored one of the sprint cars that I believe the Keeley and Associates sprint car that Greg drove, and it's there in the Hall of Fame. And I definitely want to get up there and see that. Greg was it was a tremendous loss to lose him a few years ago. Still hard to believe he's gone. And you know, but very proud that for his family that he has the display there in the Hall of Fame.
I can tell you one thing, the B-Mart or whatever is there.
Yeah, they I knew they had done a lot, so definitely, you know, definitely looking at that. Every time I go up there, I love how the Hall of Fame, they do a great job of rotating, you know, new exhibits in and out, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that one, and as well as all the other current content that's in there.
You might be able to go twice this year.
Yeah, you never know, man. It might, maybe three times. You never know, Marshall.
Yeah.
with my crazy travel schedule, I may be coming to that area a few different times.
Well, I'll be watching the flow stuff.
Well, we definitely appreciate your support. We've got a lot of exciting stuff happening there. I'm working real tight with those guys and closing in over 1,000 live races this year on flow between all the different types of motorsports. So that's an exciting thing. And, you know, there's still nothing like getting out to the racetrack with the people that can't be there. You know, this gives them a chance to at least keep in tune with live action from these different events.
Especially the Wednesday night stuff when it's a lull during the week.
Yeah, that's our goal with that. And, you know, I think people are going to enjoy that. A few of those shows are on Thursday, but most of them are on Wednesday. So it's kind of gets you over hump day, if you will, with a little action. And we've got some fun stuff planned. We're going to be announcing on those shows as well, that some features and some different things. So, a lot of fun things. And there's still some stuff in the works that hopefully we can hammer out and make happen before the year's over.
I know the whole Dirt on Dirt team's a part of it, right?
Yeah, Flo actually acquired Dirt on Dirt a year and a half ago, and Michael Rigsby is the VP of rights acquisitions and our general manager of rights acquisitions and everything for Flo. So, and he was that founder and owner of Dirt on Dirt. So, yeah, they are all under the same umbrella now.
So, pre-race show and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dustin Jarrett and I will be calling the action live from the track. Meanwhile, Michael Rigsby and Derek Kessinger will be in the Dirt on Dirt offices back in Illinois, and we'll be bouncing back and forth between what we were doing at the track and what they've got going. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff's in the works. There's been even though we're done with Arizona Speed Weeks, there's no rest for the wicked, I guess you could say, as we're all staying very busy right now.
I appreciate your time for coming on tonight.
Absolutely, Marshall. Anytime. I appreciate you doing the show, and I love what you do with this. And anytime, man, you just let me know, and it's an honor to be on here.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Take care, Marshall. Bye-bye.
We'd like to thank Ben for coming on the show. As always, go check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. Until then, this has been another edition of the Dirt Racing Podcast.
You're listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast with Marshall Haynes.